Hey, everybody, it's Kai, and thanks, as always, for listening to the Corner Office Podcast. We are going to do something a little bit different this week. Two guests, both of them journalists, and we're going to have a conversation about why there aren't more female CEOs out there, because how have we not figured this out, right? Julie Creswell is a reporter with The New York Times. Jenna McGregor is a columnist at The Washington Post. Here is our conversation.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Julie, let's start with you and give me a survey, would you, of where the state of play with female CEOs in some of the biggest companies in this economy. Where do we stand?
It's totally depressing. Female CEOs make up about 5% of management or the top spots at Fortune 500 companies. Man. And that's up from a few years ago. A decade ago or so, it was about 2%. But you're still talking a very small percentage of women running large corporations.
And we should point out here, Jenna, that in the past weeks and months, many female CEOs have departed, whether by choice or not.
We've lost a couple, Irene Rosenfeld at Mondelez and Sherry McCoy at Avon. I mean, I remember the Fortune 500 list came out recently, and we had a headline that was like, you know, the number of female CEOs comes up to a all-time high of 32. And so the numbers can be at a high, but still be pretty low.
The catch, though, Julie, is that when you do look at the numbers, and I'm talking performance numbers here of companies with female CEOs, they generally do pretty good. And yet more women aren't getting these jobs.
That's right. And I think Jenna's written about this a bit more than I have. But that's exactly right. Is there's the studies out there that show that women as CEOs do tend to outperform men.
Yeah, there was a recent study that just came out last week from an investment firm actually in Scandinavia, who looked at companies globally, and over about an 8-year period, the annualized return of companies led by women was 25%, whereas for the broader market, it was 11%. And the question is why?
Yeah, well, so let's answer that, right? What gives?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of speculation about what it might be, but there's been a lot of research that shows a very simple idea that having more diversity in the boardroom or on a management team can lead to better decision making. I think there's also a question of kind of a chicken or the egg thing. Is a company that is big and performing well more likely to have better governance and name better, more diversity? Or are the women leading to the better performance?
Yeah. Is it possible, Julie, that women are just better managers, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot going on. Some of it's very company specific. I think there's obviously a lot of challenges still, though, in various industries with what you see happening right now in Silicon Valley, for instance, with the culture around mentoring diversity women, that we have companies leading large tech companies like Google and Uber that are struggling right now with the role of women in the workplace. It's a much bigger question even than how this gets to women CEOs.
And what do you do about Uber? I mean, the headline was Uber's search for new female CEO results in 3 male finalists.
It's apparent that maybe women didn't want that job. I don't know. It speaks to a phenomenon that's much broader that a lot of researchers have also pointed to, which is that women seem to receive a preponderance of jobs that are difficult, that are, you know, the company's in a turnaround strategy. There's a name for this known as the glass cliff.
Hmm. And then I think that same research also shows that the women that do wind up in the companies that are turnaround companies or troubled companies also therefore tend to lack the support by the board that they are needed to make the changes and tend to have shorter tenures than men in similar turnaround or fix-it positions. So it's a catch-22 from women when they end up sometimes in these turnaround jobs.
Yeah, the name that comes to mind is Marissa Mayer at Yahoo, right? I mean, they went through a raft of CEOs before that thing finally went under.
For sure. Including, I think there was another female CEO.
Right, Carol Bartz.
Carol Bartz.
Yeah. And yet, Marissa Meyer will be remembered as the CEO who undid Yahoo. Right, that's going to be the first line of whatever remembrance of her is eventually published.
For sure,
Jenna. There was an interesting piece that you wrote not too long ago about how this is a precarious time to be a CEO in general. Far fewer of them are leaving because of retirement; they are leaving sort of against their will, as it were.
Yeah, there was a study recently, and I don't really think this has a gender component to it,
right.
but that the turnover rate is really ticking up for CEOs who are performing poorly. That boards are acting quicker to remove someone who's not performing well. That the leash that they give them to perform poorly is shorter. Among bottom performers,
are female CEOs more often targeted by activist shareholders and sort of outsiders in that regard? What do we know about that?
There's research out there that does indicate that women CEOs are much more likely to become the target of an activist investor than their male counterpart.
And what do we know about how successful they are when they go after or try to challenge female CEOs?
What we've seen or what the studies show is that one out of four female CEOs in the past decade had been the target of an activist investor. And I think what we've seen fairly recently is they've been very successful in removing the women from those positions.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk for a second about boards of directors and I guess population figures, Jenna, there, if you happen to know them, but also the importance of CEO governance, right? Keeping an eye on the CEO as a member of a board versus actually being the CEO.
Yeah, the numbers are interesting. I think it's about 20% of board seats in S&P 500, the largest companies, are held by women. Interestingly, Julie pointed out something in her story recently, that if you look at the Russell 3000, which is a much bigger group of companies, something like 600 of them don't have a single woman on the board.
God.
When you get to bigger companies, there's fewer of those. But, I mean, it is the board's job to name the CEO. That is their biggest job, to monitor and evaluate their performance and to choose the next one. So this really is their responsibility in many ways.
Julie?
Well, and I think that's also why you don't see as many female CEOs, right?
Yeah.
Is if you've got a board filled with men that are making these decisions, I think it's probably much easier to choose a man to fill that job than to consider a female for that job.
You know, the thing you hear about Silicon Valley all the time, about the lack of diversity and the lack of female engineers and the lack of engineers of color in that field, and tech companies, although they've moved away from it since, started off, their initial response was, oh, it's a pipeline thing. We just have to wait for women to get here. Is that a factor in female CEOs in some of the biggest companies in America?
I think that's a good point. I think that's long been held as the reason or the explanation for why there aren't more female CEOs. And I think that does play a role and is a factor to some extent. But one of Julie's colleagues wrote a really great story recently where she talked to a lot of women who almost got there or who were in a vice president role, and that, you know, once you get to that role, there's a lot of other things that come into play, which, I mean, she literally spoke to one of the heads of one of the biggest executive search firms who says there really is bias at that level. Once you get to that level, there is a crowding out and so much competition for that top job that women are at a disadvantage.
What does it take then to fix that?
Well, I think one of the things we haven't addressed is that there is one of the explanations for that bias is that there's also a lot of research that says that when women act assertive, we have these inherent gender norms that say that's not how women are supposed to act. That's how men are supposed to act. And so women have to fight that at that top level.
And men fundamentally have to get over themselves.
That would be good.
I mean, right? That, you know, that's what it is.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, you two.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Julie Creswell with The New York Times, Jenna McGregor at The Washington Post. Thanks for listening. A bit of a departure from what we usually do. Let us know what you think about it by going to our website, marketplace.org. Put a letter on our contact page if you like. Let us know what else you'd like to hear while you're at it. This episode was produced by Bridget Bodner. The whole two guest things was her idea. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive producer. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.